Well, all of this research, I've come to the conclusion that it was not an AC motor after all that Tesla had installed in the Pierce Arrow. It was a pulse motor. It was an EV Gray motor. You know, we hear these stories that the guy, Popoff, supposed associate of Tesla, who passed some little hint off to EV Gray that he inherited, and his associate, Marvin Cole, worked on, may be true. It may have been a pulse motor, because what else are you going to do with a surging, shorted motor that wants to burn itself up? You have to repress it most of the time, and once in a great while, for a very short duration, you let it out of the bag, so to speak. You stop repressing it, and that becomes a pulse. And so now you've got to rewire the motor to work with pulses that happen periodically on occasion, instead of these coils that normally surround the entire perimeter of the interior of an induction motor, because they're expecting that the AC field is going to be there all the time, everywhere, as it rotates around its field, around the perimeter of the rotor, in the area, in the vicinity of the stator coils. So now you got to bunch them up and localize them, and then time your pulses and position your coils, your stator coils, in the right position so that the pulses can take advantage of their position in with respect to those coils. So it's not even an AC motor anymore. We just assumed, right? But what do we know? You know, what does Peter Saville know? Almost nothing. And that's what can lead us astray. That we can think that he knows more than what he's presented. He knows what he's presented is about it. And we got to make up the difference. So it's starting to look like a pulse motor. Although it wasn't bad as an AC motor, the trouble was, in order to make it work, you still got to have battery assistance for a radio tuner to create a beat frequency, and then it's got to latch on to the beat frequency, and the beat frequency is not going to be as strong as the primary frequencies because it's a secondary frequency. So where's the transference of power? You only get a transference of power if everything resonates. And we don't have resonance here. We have a beat frequency. So it doesn't not make logical sense to go with merely an over-unity device. It has to be a surge-oriented device that's repressed most of the time and then let out in short-duration pulses. And now it's a pulse motor. The waveform coming out during a pulse may be an AC pulse, but it's still a pulse. And so now we're not dealing with an AC motor anymore. You know, the stator coils are putting out AC waves during a pulse, but it's still a pulse. And so the stator coils have to be bunched up and arranged. They can't be spread out all over the place, wasting themselves in the wrong position. And then the rotor can't be a squirrel cage anymore. It's got to be an EV Gray motor. There's no other way around it. Now, what scared Marvin Cole was the thing started to levitate. And that freaked him out, and he left town, took his girlfriend, took all his documentation, left the builds for EV Gray to scratch his head over, and Richard Hackenberger, who followed in Marvin Cole's footsteps. But Marvin Cole just freaked out. So what is going on with a 4,000-pound car that's levitating? Is that why it has to be magnetically coupled to the chassis? Not just to make use of the iron in the chassis to sink the magnetism, you know, the excess energy that the EV Gray team were trying to get rid of, you know, Richard Hackenberger was trying to get rid of. But so that makes sense then, that the antenna on the back is really just for dissipation. And that's why the FCC got involved 3 years later. But the point is, if they don't dissipate the energy, the thing levitates, if it's constructed properly. And apparently the Richard Hackenberger version lost some of the magic that was in the original that Marvin Cole was working on, because he didn't know what sense to make of it, because it's not conventional. The wiring is all backwards. And he probably put it back forwards again, or something. You know, he deviated from the Marvin Cole model or archetype. So we got a levitating motor that's a pulse motor on top of everything else. And put in a 4,000-pound car, now we've got the Love Bug from the 60s, a Disney picture that levitates, or the Flubber for that matter, because now the reason for sinking all that magnetism is to dissipate the levitational force that wants to cause it to levitate. And we got a 4,000-pound car to act as an anchor weight. So it makes logical sense to choose a 4,000-pound car, not just for the mass of iron, but because it's heavy. It'll stay on the ground. You know, Denny Goodman would make jokes that he thought that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was levitating all the time. And he points to the Lake Louise videos in how he walked. He kept putting his feet firmly on the ground, as if to stay on the ground. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. But what if it's possible that Marvin Cole was having the same problem and didn't realize he just has to put it in a heavy car, like a Rolls Royce or something, you know? Or a limo, you know? Something nice and heavy. Or a truck, even better. Hide it in a truck. He didn't get it. And that you have to sink the magnetism of the iron core of all the coils into a very large iron mass. And so when William Lyon quotes Tesla that for every 200 pounds of iron added, one horsepower output is increased, it's not just for the benefit of the output, it's to ground the stupid thing to prevent it from floating out into space. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. It's to ground it. So it's a two-way street. It affords the opportunity to lower the saturation point so that the core of all the coils don't reach magnetic saturation, and thus lessen the likelihood the back EMF will kick in. But then you get the benefit of dissipating the levitational force so that the thing doesn't take off and stays grounded. And of course, in a U-boat, an electro U-boat, you don't want it floating around. They already have those. The Nazis had the UFOs technology, see? So they had the same motor. They just didn't couple it to an iron hull. They coupled it to an aluminum hull, and it took off. There you go. That's the secret to those UFOs. It's an Evie Gray motor, which they ended up going with an aluminum chassis. But they were still blowing away all the charge by ionizing it, because they didn't have more aluminum mass to sink it into, in addition to the aluminum chassis of the Evie Gray motor. They needed more aluminum mass. Hey, if you're not going to go with iron and ground the thing, you go with aluminum, but still you go for the mass. Only with aluminum, you're not going to be grounded. You're going to fly off into space. And of course, all the stories are of Atlantis. Their UFOs were aluminum. They were so big on aluminum, they had a mile-high lightning rod that was kind of like the Eiffel Tower, or not the Eiffel Tower, well, yeah, or the Empire State Building. You could go up to the top, you know, take a elevator ride up to the top, or to the stairs if you preferred. And they had this lightning rod because Kaiful, the capital of city of Atlantis before the last sinking, had a lot of lightning. They had a lot of thunderstorms. You know, they're in the Atlantic during the Ice Age, in the only zone of the planet that was not frozen, and so they got all the water dumped on them, and the lightning that went with it. So they had this lightning rod to, you know, take care of the lightning, to make sure nobody else gets lightning, just the lightning rod got it. But it was made of aluminum. They were so big on aluminum. And of course they had transmutation of the elements down pat, so they could make as much aluminum or gold in any quantity or any other pure substance they wanted for any purpose. For the price of mining copper ore. Or, no, excuse me, for the price of smelting copper ore. That's how costly it was to transmute any shale. They usually would work with shale. I guess they had a lot of rivers. From all the rain, they had to keep emptying out the rivers that got loaded up with shale from their lava, their, you know, volcano, mountain lava, filling up the rivers with shale, a lot of black silt. So they chose to put the silt to good use and turn it into whatever they wanted for the price of smelting copper ore. That's a lot of technology in one video here. But we go back to the EV Green motor. It was the Pierce Arrow motor, which was a pulse motor. And he had to pick a Pierce Arrow to ground the thing so that it wouldn't fly off into space. That's why. Because if he had gone with aluminum, it would have taken off. There you go. That's why the Marvin Coles thing took off, because he didn't know to ground it with iron. A cast iron, and a larger iron mass to magnetically couple it with, because, you know, a chassis, even on a motor block, even an engine block, is still not enough mass. But a Pierce Arrow, plenty of mass there. Ground the stupid thing, you know? There you go.